Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. In our busy and fast-paced world, it's become increasingly challenging to maintain balance. We have to make a concerted effort to stay centered amidst the chaos and consciously choose to make the time to take care of ourselves and to go within. One of the best practices to achieve this is the practice of mindfulness. To help me bring this topic to the forefront, I invited mindfulness and meditation expert Jasmine Tereni. Jasmine is a Columbia University graduate and licensed psychotherapist who invented life therapy, which is the combination of psychotherapy and coaching with mindfulness and meditation. She's helped many women access their ultimate potential and take their lives to the next level in every realm. Join me for my heartwarming conversation with Jasmine, where she shares the important lessons that she learned from her personal journey of transformation, along with valuable tips on how we can apply the art of mindfulness to live a fulfilling life. Hi, Jasmine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. I'm so glad that we were able to connect today to speak about some really interesting topics such as mindfulness and finding fulfilling relationships and hearing your take on them. So thanks for making the time to be present here today.
Of course. My pleasure.
Okay, so let's get started with speaking about something that caught my eye on your website. You practice a pretty unique technique called life therapy, which is the combination of psychotherapy, life coaching, mindfulness, and meditation. I'm interested to know what motivated you to get into this field of life therapy.
That's a good question. Well, so essentially I created the terminology of life therapy. Because I'm trained in traditional psychotherapy. I have my master's degree from Columbia University, and I have kind of the more conventional background in psychotherapy. But I also grew up in a very spiritually minded home. My mom meditated with us every night before we went to sleep as children. And so that kind of more Eastern philosophies and spiritual nature was a real solid foundation in who I am. And so when I decided to start my practice, it only made sense to kind of combine the traditional psychotherapy with the more Eastern spiritual practices like mindfulness and meditation. And nowadays, people aren't interested in just talking endlessly about their feelings. They want to have some more result-oriented focus in the work that they do. So that's where the life coaching component comes in, where you get to actually focus on having some results that you're working towards. So I kind of have a lot of tools in my toolbox for whoever and whenever, whatever it is that people need.
Okay. And what, you know, if you could tell us a little bit about your background and what made you get into this practice of life therapy and kind of helping people out with their problems, and if you could tell us a little bit about your story, I would love to know more about it.
Yeah. Okay. So there's kind of twofold. I think that I have kind of two chapters of my story. I'm not sure which chapter you prefer to, which direction you would prefer to go in, but there's kind of a chapter that got me into doing life therapy, and now kind of the next chapter of my life, which is around the book that I wrote, and kind of the next phase of my career with speaking and more large group workshops and such. Which direction feels more important to you right now?
Well, I would honestly like to know, what was the inspiration? What was there any specific life experience or anything that, any challenge that you went through that kind of spurred you on to get into this field? Because I found that very often, you know, we get motivated to get into the field of self-development and helping people out with their problems because we went through something. I speak for myself, and I've seen consistently with a lot of self-help experts and a lot of spiritual leaders. So I'm just curious to know if you also have a story like that.
Yeah, I have. There's a few parts of the story. So essentially, you know, to get into this field, I grew up in a home that many would call far from ordinary. So my house was, my friends called it Willy Wonka's factory.
Okay.
The mailbox was shaped like a big pink heart. The border around the house was purple, and every post on the walkway going up to my front door was a different pastel color. And every cabinet in my kitchen was a different pastel color. And the walls had hangings of ice cream and hearts and hot pink leather couches and illuminated signs of love. It was kind of this like love bubble of delicious warmth and goodness.
Okay.
And it was all, so it was kind of unique. And it was pretty much my mom was the leader of love in this domain. My dad was her sidekick, but she was the one in charge. And so I grew up in this world where, you know, there was a lot of positivity and a lot of support and, you know, conscious parenting. And I was really aware of how rare it was, particularly in that generation.
Yeah.
And I think that on some level I felt unworthy, that I didn't do anything to deserve it, that I didn't do anything to earn it. You know, I just kind of got lucky in the family department. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's these different parts of the story. And, you know, primarily when I got into this field, it had to do with the fact that I didn't quite know what to do with my pain coming from this world of all this happiness and love and joy and things, that I didn't really know how to handle these more negative feelings. And I felt guilty that I suffered for whatever random thing I suffered about, because I knew that how great my life was. So I had kind of had this challenge within of wanting to feel grateful and almost wanting to disregard whatever suffering I went through, because I didn't think I should suffer because I was so lucky. So I think that through my own inner work, I started to really learn how to embrace the darkness and the light, and to really do some deep soul searching into understanding that the pain and the suffering and the human condition has duality. It has kind of these both sides of the equation, that it's not just all of the yummy, delicious, fun stuff, but, you know, that there's a lot of learning and growth that comes from the pain and the suffering and the challenges. And so I think that because I had such a strong foundation in being able to connect with the light, that was a grounding force for being able to help others do that as well. And I kind of had to pull in the darkness into my own experience and embrace that too. Which is the foundation of my life therapy practice. It's really understanding how to embrace all feelings, you know, all the good ones, and embrace and encourage as many of those as possible, but also to not be scared of the darkness and the suffering and the anxiety and the stress, and create a real loving relationship with those parts of ourselves so that we can feel free from them.
Right. Wow. I really honor you for you know, having that consciousness to know that there is a dark side and that you need to embrace your shadow side as well. And it's not just all, you know, all the fairy dust and, you know, like you said, the Willy Wonka kind of stuff, you know, since you're in your environment, that there is a darker side to life. And that's as important as a light side, because that's what creates the whole, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so what's been interesting for me, you know, that's been the foundation of my private practice for the last 10 years, is really helping people feel comfortable with themselves on every level, know how to kind of navigate that inner world, mm-hmm. And to really develop the tools to be able to handle all parts of themselves and embrace that duality so that they can feel free from the parts of themselves that have been holding them back. Mm-hmm. But then the next part of my story, which is kind of the next phase of my life, which is essentially, you know, I grew up in this home and with all this beautiful love and wonderfulness, and all led by my amazing mom. And then actually about 3 years ago, my mom was on her way to come meet me for lunch, and she never arrived.
No, I'm sorry to hear.
So, thank you. Yeah. So essentially, she was driving on the highway and somehow lost control of her car and was hit by oncoming traffic. Mm-hmm. And that was it. So it was, needless to say, the most devastating day, moment, experience that I had ever endured. And but there was a deep sense that it was for a bigger purpose. You know, I had, like I said, I grew up kind of just spiritually minded. She was meditating with us since we were kids, and kind of bringing these bigger concept conversations into our lives from an early age. And I think the reason that she was able to have so much joy was her awareness of mortality. And so rather than fearing it, there was kind of an embracing of it and a desire to live really fully as a result of knowing that nothing is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And so with that said, you know, I had a really, talking about dark and light, I had a really dark year. You know, I lost my mom. I was dealing with my devastated father. I had a 1-year-old child. We were renovating a house, and I lost my everything. I mean, my mom was the my source of everything, you know,
right.
My best friend. And then actually on 1 year later, on the anniversary of her death, I had a little rumble in my tummy, and I ended up going into labor. And I ended up giving birth to my daughter on the actual anniversary of my mom's death.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was really profound. I mean, I had home birth with both my kids, completely natural, everything. And it was my gift. And, you know, I feel like if anyone was going to be letting us know there was more to this life than we realize and we see, it would be her, you know? And so not only you want a little bit more piece to this equation, you ready for another twist to the story?
No, sure. Go ahead. Yes, of course.
So not only did I give birth to my daughter on the anniversary of my mom's death, but my younger brother, mm-hmm. who at the time was 29 years old, he was a government major at Harvard, decided to get into the movie industry. And he told me, hey, guess what? The movie that I made got into Sundance Film Festival. And I mean, this was a huge, huge, I mean, it still is a huge honor. It's a huge deal to get into Sundance Film Festival. And then he told me, you'll never believe it. Sundance Film Festival begins on January 22nd, 2016. So on the anniversary of my mom's death, her two children got the biggest gift of their life. I gave birth to my daughter. My brother, my 29-year-old brother, got his movie got into Sundance Film Festival, which began on that day. And then his movie won Sundance Film Festival.
Wow. Talk about synchronicities.
Yeah, right? So as a result of kind of this powerful day, I had this book just kind of start pouring through me. And it's this book on conscious parenting, and it's kind of the 10 core principles of parenthood that I received from my mom. And it's the realization that, you know, I don't have her anymore to guide me. And it was me trying to kind of bottle up all of the core practices that I received as a child, and, you know, and my refining them from the perspective of a psychotherapist and also as a new mom. Mm-hmm. And so that's my new passion project, is this book. I actually just finished it. It's going to be available on Amazon, and the idea is for all new moms to get a copy, and to baby showers to share it as gifts. And that I think that ultimately when writing this book, what I realized is that unworthiness that I had felt growing up, that feeling that, oh, I didn't deserve this, I didn't earn this parenthood, I actually realized through writing this book that not only did I deserve it, but all children do. And that through losing her, rather than feeling kind of quiet or humbled to not share the world that I came from, I feel like she left so that I would have the courage to share, and that the gifts that I was given happen to be in my home, and that these are gifts that all homes deserve to have and all children deserve to have.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Jasmine. That's so profound. I'm curious to know, what did your mom teach you specifically about mindfulness? Because you said that she was into meditation. She meditated with you every day. And, you know, just that whole practice of being present. It's such a huge buzzword in the field of personal development now.
Right.
So what does mindfulness mean to you? And how do you think that each one of us can practice it on a regular basis?
That's a good question. So, you know, mindfulness, essentially when you think of the inner experience, I think that it's important to start identifying the different voices that we have in our head. Mm-hmm. Because there are these different characters, if you will. You know, sometimes you can think one thing and then this thing and know this, but maybe this. I think that the way that I see mindfulness is the defining of the different parts of your inner voice and your inner experience, and understanding which voice is the one that you want to lead with, and which one is the one that you need to tend to and take care of and soothe. So when I think of mindfulness, essentially, you know, we had these kind of, I think of the unconscious mind as like a Pac-Man. It's like, Pac-Man, pack, and it just kind of goes on and on and on. It doesn't shut up, and it has this maybe this minute. And mindfulness is the awareness that that's not your true self. And the Pac-Man mind is always like, well, I need this and I need this and maybe that. And the natural tendency is to want to satiate that Pac-Man and give it what it's asking for and give it what it thinks that it needs. But true spiritual connectedness is the awareness that part of you is never satisfied. And the real practice to strengthen is learning how to identify that Pac-Man mind and to step back from it and to see it, and almost like as if you were in a car and then you decided to get out of the car and sit on the side of the road. All of a sudden, no one's driving that car anymore, and it's no longer in charge.
Right. Okay, that's a great description. And how do you think that each one of us can practice it on a daily basis?
Well, so there's kind of I like to call the inner work that I do an inner workout. essentially, is that, you know, you don't expect your body to be strong without exercising. And equally, we naturally fall into this kind of Pac-Man mind, and our minds just kind of go wherever they want to go, or our reactions and our feelings just respond however they want to, and we don't actually have control over them. And so the idea is, how do we strengthen that muscle to not get caught up into whatever response or reaction just comes through us? And so I think that it's twofold. The practice of meditation is something that you can do intentionally. So it's not necessarily in the moment as a response to your life, but it's a practice. It's part of your inner workout. It's the strengthening of that muscle. So in a meditation, there's different types of meditation. There's some that are with a mantra, or some with a guided meditation, or some with breathing. You know, there's these different types of meditation. And the idea for these different types of meditation is to give your mind something to focus on. But essentially, what people don't realize, like, oh, well, I'm not good at meditating, or I don't like it. Like, nobody's good at meditating. The practice is, you have this thing that you're trying to focus on, and your mind wanders off. And the practice that you're developing is noticing that your mind wandered, using your muscle, bringing it back to the whatever it is that you're focusing on, and continuing that practice. It wanders, you come back. It wanders, you come back. It wanders, you come back. And that coming back is the building of the muscle of mindfulness, so that you are strengthening that muscle in your meditation, so that when you're in your life and you're dealing with whatever's happening and this is stressful or whatever, you have that muscle and you have that awareness of, oh, my mind is going on this tangent. Let me come back to this present moment, to this stillness, to my breath, and realize that everything is okay. So to me, it's twofold. And this, in your inner workout, is both these intentional moments and times that you actually allocate to strengthen that muscle, and then mindfulness throughout your day and throughout your life is being aware of all the moments when you're getting caught up in your reactive mind or reactive feelings that isn't your truest self.
Yeah, those are some great suggestions, Jasmine. And you know what really helped me? I don't know, I heard it in some interview with, you know, Oprah was interviewing somebody, and he talked about, you know, when he talked about mindfulness, he said that all you need to do is just stay present and kind of use all your senses to really, you know, take in what's in your environment. Like, you know, when you're having a shower, feel the water fall against your skin, and, you know, feel the warmth of the water or the cold, whatever the temperature is, and just, you know, just be there. And that's really helped me.
Right.
I'm someone who tends to think a lot, and mindfulness really kind of slows me down when I practice mindfulness. And I'm sure a lot of people have relate to me. And I think
that's a great point.
Essential. We need that in today's world where things are so super fast. I mean, we've got social media, the internet, and everything's
right.
You know, you can't remain balanced and sane if you can
be
going at a fast pace. So mindfulness is a lifesaver. I mean, it definitely saved me. So
yeah, for sure. But, you know, just to piggyback one thing off what you said, I think that the differentiation is also that we're talking about the quality of being, right? So we're in this tendency of doing, go, 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 do, 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 accomplish, accomplish. And so mindfulness is being present, is being in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. And so the suggestions that you gave are these perfect opportunities to bring yourself into the moment through the external world, through your senses, through noticing the stillness in the room, through the water on the shower, through hearing, through touching. You know, those bring you into the present moment in the space around you. So I think of that as kind of external being. And then there's internal being, right? Which is shifting that awareness towards being present to what's going on inside of you. Right. So one can slow you down. What you're talking about can really slow you down, because the present moment is still, unless there's like a bomb or something, but generally the moment that you're in is fairly still. But then there's also the mindfulness and the awareness of what's going on inside of you and being present to that inner experience. It's kind of like becoming the sky and seeing all this stuff that's going on inside of you as being the clouds. and really accessing that stillness within, but still being aware of all the stuff that's been arising.
Right. And, I would like to know, how can mindfulness help us increase our confidence and get us to feel more comfortable in our skin? I mean, does it help? I mean, are they related in some way?
Oh, for sure. I think that mindfulness can help us feel more confident in ourselves, because when you think of what confidence really means, confidence is acceptance of oneself, right? So confidence is different than arrogance. Arrogance is kind of an insecure person's way of proving themselves, whereas confidence is a real deep sense of knowing oneself and being comfortable with oneself and not needing to prove anything and feeling a sense of security within oneself. And mindfulness is this practice of self-awareness, right? It's a practice of not only presence and stillness, but the practice of accepting whatever is happening within you in that moment. And so the more accepting you are of yourself, the more you understand yourself, see yourself, know yourself, and then accept yourself, the more confident you inherently become.
Right. Okay. Wow. Jasmine, thanks so much. That's a wrap for our interview. Thank you so much for making
time
to speak with us today. Before we go, could you please let my listeners know how they can learn more about you and your offerings, please?
Of course. So the best way to find me is through my website, www.jasminebalance.com. So that's www.jas, like Sam, M as in Mary, I, N as in Nancy, B like boy, A, L like Larry, A, N like Nancy, CE.com. There you can find out about my life therapy practice and my upcoming books, and you can sign up to get, behind the scenes thoughts and insight and life lessons that I'm going through in my own life through my email. And you can also find me on social media. On Instagram as Jasmine Tarani, JASMINTERRANY. Facebook is Jasmine Balance, and Twitter is Jasmine Balance as well. So I'm all over the place. So feel free to connect, because I'd love to connect with anybody else.
Yeah, and you also mentioned you have a new book that's come out on parenting, right? So all the parents out there, they would probably find it helpful to know where they can get your book.
Yes, exactly. So go to my website, and when you put in your email address, you'll be first to know when the book is available for purchase.
Oh, it's not available.
And the book is called, it's going to be available within the month.
Okay.
And it's called Extraordinary Mommy, A Loving Guide to Mastering Life's Most Important Job.
Oh, I love it. Love it. Jasmine.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure, Jasmine. Thank you so much.
Of course, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.